Many years ago, ToughPigs.com began a great tradition of arguing about the Muppets on the internet. Now, ToughPigs has assembled a team of Muppet experts from all over the world for a summit on the state of the Muppets. This is the Great Muppet Fandom Panel!
Everybody talk loud.
Everybody talk loud.
Everybody talk soft.
Everybody talk soft.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to the Spring 2023 edition of the Great Muppet Fandom Panel from ToughPigs.com. This is a panel discussion show during which you'll hear highlights from the Henson headlines discussed by a panel of Muppet nerds. It's sort of like a quarterly report on the state of our fuzzy friends at Muppet Studio, Henson Co., and Sesame Workshop, except the real quarterly reports at Sesame Workshop right now presumably involve a lot more hair-pulling and profane screaming. We've got time to catch up, though. We might have just the same amount of that. Anyhow, each of our panelists has brought a discussion question for us, which could be about anything related to Jim Henson or the Muppets, but we expect our main topics this time will be Sesame Street commercials, Disney's creative Muppet promotions, and the recent success of the Jim Henson Company, by which I, of course, mean the release of Billy Bunny. For all this and more, we'll be talking with the hosts of Muppet Fans Talking, not the show I used to host of the same name, nor any of the podcasts with that name on YouTube. No, I'm talking about the one hosted by Mary, Maria, and Sprout, which stands out because it's hosted by those people instead of other people. Let's introduce the panelists! First up, a Muppet Fans Talking co-host and good friend of mine, C is for Cookie, that's good enough for Sprout!
Hi, it's me, Sprout Monster!
Okay.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh!
I saw an opportunity.
I was so not expecting that. Next, their co-host and partner, a ToughPigs contributor. Although I might like it for one afternoon, I don't want to live on Maria.
Please don't live on me. I'm very tiny and I will die if you, you know, try.
I said I don't want to. I just said I don't want to for an afternoon.
But you here anyway.
Okay.
Jeez.
Fine. And finally, some have called her the Queen of Muppets Twitter, but she insists she's just the HR department. A gift from my mother the day I was born. I love it because it's Mary.
Hi, everybody.
Hello. And I'm J.D. Hansel. Thank you. Thank you. Listeners might not know this, but we all became friends over Twitter, the most dependable social media platform. We've been pals for almost a couple years now, and I'm so used to chatting with you all and Richard and B on Twitter, but I feel like it's been a minute since we all really talked. How have you all been? What's new with you? And is there more Muppet Fans Talking coming in the future?
I have been busy as a bee. I've never stopped doing anything.
You've been busy as our friend B?
Your name's Mary.
I'm busy as our friend B. You know her.
That's true. Everybody knows, and everyone listening will absolutely know who we're talking about when we say B. There will be no ambiguity. There will be no complications with any of our personal conversations from Twitter bleeding into this podcast I do for the larger Tough Pigs audience. It'll be fine.
If you don't know who B is, that's your fault.
Don't know who B is, then you should follow B.
If you don't know who B is, you need to watch more Sesame Street.
If you don't know who B is, you need to be listening to some more Muppet Fans Talking.
Yeah, so what is Muppet Fans Talking?
A podcast.
Oh, great. Thank you. Well, that's all I needed to know. That's the end of our show, I guess. We answered the question.
I'm doing. Got engaged. That's wild.
Mm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
To whom?
I don't know. I don't know if they're here. Are they here? Hello?
Maria, did you lose your fiance?
It happens. They're so small.
Margo!
Hello?
Margo, it's me.
I did it. This is my lovely partner, Sprout.
Hi.
And the three of us run Muppet Fans Talking, which we haven't done in a year.
Has it been that long?
It will be a year in April.
I haven't recorded in over a year.
Oh, wow.
But Muppet Fans Talking stopped right in April, because that's when a bunch of shit went down for all of us.
A lot of personal things popped up at the time that needed to It needed our utmost attention at that point.
Okay. Did it have to do with Richard ruining everything as usual?
It's actually all Richard's fault.
Okay.
Yeah.
Richard is the reason my dad died.
Well, that we already knew. That we already knew.
It wasn't canon. An aneurysm. It was Richard. He sent and snipers.
And he will do it again.
He will do
He you will know, kill your dad again.
You know, people say, like, lock up your wives. No, lock up your dads. Richard will kill them. We need to start the podcast over again. This is all horrible.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible, but I'm thinking I'm going to use all of it.
Yeah, that's just, okay. So that's what Muppet Fans Talking is. It's a horrible podcast that we use because we love it and we're all friends, and it's this. It's what you're hearing is this, but more and very gay.
This is true.
This is a tangent. Did I tell you guys what my dad said when I came out to him?
No.
See, I don't know. See, he had this very weird dry sense of humor, so I don't know if he was joking or not. I came out to him when we were in Disney World, and I said, Dad, I'm gay. I like women. And we were walking towards the castle, and he stopped and he turned to me and he said, this is no longer the happiest place on earth. And he kept walking.
Oh, no.
I think it was a joke. I mean, he had a gay brother that he loved dearly. I don't know if it was
still
a joke or if he was serious, but it kills me and I love to tell the tale.
I don't know if it's... I don't know if it's like a super mega hell level of like so homophobic it's funny.
Yes, it is. It is the supernatural version of wow. It's so bad. It's good.
Okay.
I need the one joke image of John shaking Garfield with "Are you Jay or Sir?"
Okay.
Right. JD does not know what he's gotten himself into.
I knew what I was getting myself into.
Did
I just.
You?
I did. Because, I know. I've listened to your show before.
Okay, but the thing is, he. thinks that this is a Muppet fandom panel podcast. No, this is a backdoor Muppet fans talking episode. We're stealing your show.
We're soft launching the Muppet Fans Talking return. Yes.
You're stealing a second podcast of mine?
Yes.
Are you?
And we're gonna steal. We're gonna steal more podcasts like Richard Kills Dads.
We're gonna steal everything you own.
Well. Here's the deal, though. If you steal all my stuff, then you also get all of the characters from my old commercials from Muppet Fans Talking. So you are going to have to deal with Thomas and Ethan. You may not like Thomas and Ethan.
So I'm getting free IP?
Oh.
It sounds like a blessing, but it is actually a curse. I think you're going to have a hard time knowing what to do with Thomas and Ethan. I think they mean well, but they're a couple of very confusing Brits.
Okay. Can we lock them in a room somewhere?
They already are locked in a room somewhere. It is now time for the Great Muppet Question. Panelists, are you ready?
Yes.
Great! This episode's Great Muppet Question is, if you could pick any episode of Fraggle Rock, keep one human and replace the rest of the cast with Muppets, who would you cast and what parts?
Okay, I am thinking like the average Twitter user. That has no fucking idea what anything Muppets is. They saw Muppets once when they were five. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I know the Muppets. Mm-hmm. But they don't know the Muppets, but they think they do. So, do you know the episode where Uncle Traveling Matt is on the roller coaster? And yes. Dave Goles has that great story of him being on a roller coaster for like 7 hours.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Instead of Uncle Traveling Matt, you replace it with Christopher Lloyd. 1980s Christopher Lloyd, right off the back of Back to the Future Christopher Lloyd. That's our Uncle Traveling Matt.
Okay.
And then, you know, you do the average, you know, Twitter thing of like, Kermit is Gobo and Piggy is Red and Fozzie is Wimbley and Gonzo is Boober and Janice is Mokey and Sweetest is Junior Gork. And I know so much about the Muppets and I'm so smart. That's my idea.
That was a very good impression of B. Mary, I wanted to just ask you, if you could pick any episode of Fraggle Rock, keep one human and replace the rest of the cast with Muppets, who would you cast and what parts?
I would do the episode I Don't Care, which is the one with Boober and his blanket where he accidentally kills Wembley for a few minutes.
Yep. Yeah, I watched it recently. He for a few minutes there, he kills Wembley, and then Wembley just comes back to life.
Yep.
My one human would be Robert Capron. He would play Wembley, and if you don't know who Robert Capron is, he played Raleigh in the Diary of a Wimpy Kid movies.
A reference for people younger than me, but go on.
And then I would have Ruby be played by Miss Piggy. I would have Gobo played by Gonzo. I would have Moki be played by Sam the Eagle. And good. I would have Red played by Zoot. And then I would have the Trashy be played by Sweetums. And Philo and Gun would be respectively played by Bert and Ernie.
Mm-hmm.
Not Statler and Waldorf.
No, Bert and Ernie.
She's made up her mind, Maria. Okay?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask.
Oh, and then Doc would be played by Pops, and Sprocket would be Big Mean Carl.
Good.
Well, that's very good.
Good. Thank you. Good.
A little too obvious, but I appreciate it. Sometimes there's just a right answer.
Sometimes the best answer is right in front of you.
It's true. Sprout?
So I thought the Gorg who would be king would be a fun one to do.
Okay.
Solely because I want Thog to be Junior Gorg so I could see a hand puppet version of Thog.
Oh, all right. That's, I'm picturing it. I'm picturing it. And now I'm glad that I never have to picture it again.
I also had fun with Pa and Ma Gorg. Pa Gorg is Tamanella Grinderfall and Ma Yay. Gorg is Sweetums.
Okay. I like it. I like it a lot.
We all know how Fraggle Rock loves to use special effects.
Mm-hmm.
So for this, I really want to put it to the test. And our human is none other Danny DeVito as Wembley Fraggle.
Yes. Yes.
Question. Yes. Question. The Danny DeVito, is it Danny DeVito from like Always Sunny, or are we getting like taxi
no,
Danny
80s
DeVito?
Danny DeVito. We are
taxi
in
Danny
the
DeVito.
Right time.
Okay. Now, okay. I will just say, if it had been It's Always Sunny Danny DeVito, then that episode, Wembley and the Egg, would make a heck of a lot of sense.
That would be
I'm
a great one.
Throwing that out there.
So after this, I just started having fun and making a little bit of random choices. Moki is the Swedish chef. Red is Miss Piggy. Gobo is Scooter the Gopher. Boober is Sam the Eagle. The background Fraggles for our fun musical bit are the Electric Mayhem, of course. Cotter Pinduzer is Robin the Frog. And then for our trash heap scene, Marjorie is played by Rolf, one of the most philosophical Muppets. And Philo and Gunge are Statler and Waldorf because of all the jokes they crack in this episode.
We have the same brain.
And with that, it's about time for me to get to the news. But before I do, I'd like to remind everyone that we're not covering all the Muppet news on this show. This isn't a weekly updates show, so if you're looking for that, listen to another podcast. However, if you'd like to stay up to date on everything happening in the Muppet world as it's happening, you've got to follow toughpigs.com wherever social networks are sold. You really don't have a lot of better options, and if you get your news from the scuffs on your shoes, then that won't help at all. Jim Henson said that. It's time for news. Let's start with Sesame Street. In early January of this year, the magazine Elle, not like the letter, but spelled E-L-L-E, had Bert and Ernie stop by to play a game of song association for a fun video on YouTube. Basically, they're given a word prompt, and then they have 10 seconds to start singing a song with that word in the lyrics. Panelists, have you seen it, and what did you think?
Yes.
I've seen it, and I loved it.
I thought it was the greatest piece of cinema made in quite a long time.
I've watched it so many times.
I remember I was having a really crappy day that day, and then I watched that video, and now I don't even remember what I was upset about.
Yeah, it was weirdly a pick-me-up for me, too, and it was one of those odd things where, for once, I saw a Sesame Street thing, and I wanted to show it to other people. Like, I made my brother watch it.
Exactly.
It's good. It's a Sesame Street thing really in 2023, good. And it's good. It's funny.
It's a Bert and Ernie thing in 2023 that's funny, and which shocks me.
A genuine Bert and Ernie thing.
Yes,
where
genuinely.
They let Peter and Eric play, and I love just watching Peter and Eric play.
I watched it again right before we did this, because I watched it a few times when it came out, but I was like, I want to have my thoughts written down, so I do have some things, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Please, yeah.
Okay, I'm obsessed with how Bert said, we'll sing or rap if you're so moved. I loved how he said that. Just, if you're so moved. Ernie trying to do a Randy Newman impression is just very good. And I really want to know what face Peter Linz is pulling to make that voice. Because you know he's making a weird face trying to voice.
Of course.
Don't poke me. Bert has said that many times, and every time it gets a laugh out of me. Bert singing Wild Thing also reminded me of a, oh yeah, Groove With Me, Baby. This is very out of tune.
Oh, it reminded me of the Kermit cover of Wild Thing.
Oh, yes.
From Kermit Unpigged.
You make so my heart sing.
Oh, it's terrible.
Their harmonizing on Dream was beautiful. Anyway, Sprout and I are very Bert and Ernie coded, so if you want to make fan art of us, we are them, basically.
I would just love to bring up the fact that I finally got Ernie singing Simon and Garfunkel.
Yes.
This is all I've ever wanted in life, and I didn't even know I needed it.
We had a whole Simon and Garfunkel.
Simon and who?
Garfunkel?
Fuck you. Fuck you, JD. Eat glass. Eat glass. Go to space. Fuck you.
Okay.
The last time I visited Sprout, we had a sing-along. Well, we drove around their town. It was fun. It was nice. It was gay. Go to space, JD.
Will do.
Okay.
Okay. So, Sesame Street characters have been popping up in a bunch of commercials lately. Cookie Monster was one of several celebrities to appear in a promo for The Big Game in February on Fox Sports. The Count was lectured about NerdWallet for some reason, and United Airlines released a series of commercials featuring Oscar the Grouch as their new Chief Trash Officer to promote their efforts to turn trash into fuel for airplanes. What did you all think of seeing our Sesame friends in these commercial spots?
So it shouldn't feel weird, because even especially with Cookie Monster, Muppets were originally starring in commercials because that was the best they could get. And yeah. Yet it is very strange.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because we've had 50 plus years of these characters being characters on Sesame Street away from commercials. And so to bring them out of the street and not into our world, into the world of commercialism, feels slimy and gross and bad. And also, as soon as I saw Cookie Monster in that Big Game Hup Hup ad, I didn't want to see any other actor. I was like, well, if he's here, do something with him. But he's just, you're doing nothing. I'm tired. Go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's there for the sake of being there.
My thought was, man, Sesame Workshop really needs money.
Uh-huh. Right. That's what it all screams. But here's the other side of it. Like, this means we actually get to see Sesame Street characters in things that are geared towards adults. And yeah. So they're actually trying a little bit to be funny and entertaining, almost sort of, kind of, but in a weird way.
And I do like that they are in physical sets because, mm-hmm. And this is, you know, no fault of their own, but because of COVID, so much has become, you know, blue screens with Sesame lately.
Yeah.
And I don't fault them for that, but also I am a big lover of physical sets.
Me too.
And so to see them in physical sets feels great. I even though it's like I don't want to see the Count doing all of this because it feels so bad. Mm-hmm. But I like that he's in a physical place. I did hate how he walked out of the bus. He looked so tall. Did anyone else feel like he looked so tall when he was walking out of the bus?
Maria, some girls like that.
What are you...
She's talking about how the Count is hot, okay? Is that so wrong?
Was it just me that it felt so weird? The Count looked too tall getting out of the bus.
Something about the Count was off. It all felt weird. The way that he walked felt strange.
Yes.
Maybe it's the way he walked.
Okay. Why are you simping over the Count?
For comedic purposes.
If you joke about something long enough, it no longer becomes a joke, Mary. I'm warning you.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
If you joke in the game, you joke for real.
So, I guess I like seeing the Sesame Street characters trying to do funny things for adults, and I'm relieved that these commercials have all been pitched at adults. like it's not children's products, which would feel weird to have the Sesame Street characters doing that. I mean, they're already like their faces are already put on juice boxes and things, but you know what I mean? It would feel weird for a Sesame Street character like Big Bird or whoever to say, hey, kids, you should buy this. It's really good. That would feel deeply wrong. And also, it is someone else doing the pitching in each case. It is not the Sesame Street characters saying, we like this product, if that makes sense.
Can I give a hot take for a minute?
That's what the show's for, by all means.
All right. I did not mind the DoorDash commercial for the Super Bowl that Sesame Street did a few years ago. I do not mind it. I thought it was a very well-executed commercial. Rhea, stop looking at me like that.
I didn't say anything.
You know what you're doing. Anyways, I didn't mind it. I thought it was a well-executed commercial. I think it showed the world very nicely. It was geared towards adults, but so it didn't feel manipulative, like kind of what JD was mentioning. And I didn't mind it. I think the volume of the commercials we're getting now is where it's like, oh, I'm concerned for Sesame Workshop. That's kind of where I'm at right now, but I also majored in marketing, so who knows?
It's just the Count one that really skeeves me out, because he's like, gas prices are going up. That's great. It's like, yeah, that's great. That's fantastic.
Which was funny. It was funny.
Was it funny now? Was it? Is it funny for people like me with no money?
Well, but that's the joke. The joke is that the Count doesn't understand that you're suffering.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
The Count lives in a castle on a mountain. He does not know what the average poor Joe is going through.
Are you saying that he's the 1%?
He is, and I think he should be the only one who's allowed to be in it.
The Sesame Street Muppets were just featured in another interesting place, Sesame Street Night on The Masked Singer. We didn't have time to watch all of it tonight since it's airing the night that we're recording this. We always seem to have scheduling conflicts on this podcast whenever they do a Muppet thing on The Masked Singer, and I'm always a little bit relieved because I don't want to have to deal with all that, but we did watch a minute of it before we recorded this, so... My gosh, was it auto-tuned?
It was so auto-tuned. So just like BTS.
I've only seen Kermit's, and obviously I only saw Kermit's section, because you think I'm going to watch The Masked Singer? No.
Right.
Mary,
do you watch The Masked
Singer? I went through a really rough time during COVID.
As we all did.
The night where Kermit was revealed as a contestant on The Masked Singer was the last night I watched The Masked Singer, because all I could think was, it's not going to get better than this.
But they just had Dick Van Dyke.
They did just have Dick Van Dyke.
And I love that man. He is my one and forever for eternity.
And at some point, I very much hope that on this podcast, I will be able to suddenly surprise people with someone that they weren't expecting to see. But only time will tell. Sprout, have you seen The Masked Singer?
I have seen the Kermit clip, and I have seen the clip from Sesame Street's episode.
Hello?
Hi. Hello.
Oh, no.
I got jump scared.
A bee jump scare.
Hello.
White woman jump scare.
That's my bestie.
Surprise, I'm here. Hello.
Hi!
Welcome, Bea.
Hello.
For the listeners at home, I thought it would be fun to surprise the Muppet Fans Talking Gang with their friend, our friend from Twitter and from elsewhere, and from many Muppet Fans Talking appearances. It's Bea.
Hi.
You might know Bea from her horrible taste in men.
Mary.
Wow. You're really gonna start that immediately?
Wow.
Yeah.
Not even 2 seconds.
Bea. Yeah. You technically a former host of MFT. Yes, she was a host.
She is. No one knows. I'm one of the founders.
Yeah,
that's some deep lore.
None of the video from this is going to be released, just so you all know. None of the video is going anywhere. That's all private. Just the audio.
I look horrifying.
Same.
I just had to deal with like a bunch of six teenagers, and they were making fun of me the whole time.
Well, that's not nice. We would never do that to you. For our final item in Sesame Street news, Variety reported on March 13th that Sesame Street is now doing NFTs. At Tough Pigs, we've been pretty vocal about not feeling great about this, but some of us are more bothered than others. As Louis pointed out in are in episode 2 of the Great Muppet Fandom Panel. They don't all have the worst environmental impact, but these images that are for trading are not the most interesting use of the technology. They're not necessarily worth the impact they have. And we're generally not sure who these Fraggle Rock Labyrinth and now Sesame NFTs are even for. So, Sesame Street NFTs, are we going to get them? Do we like them?
All I'm going to say is NFT stands for no friggin' thanks.
Mm-hmm. We've been saying fuck. You can say fuck if you want to.
Yeah.
I felt it was more Sesame Street-esque.
Yeah, on Sesame Street, they're always saying frickin'. Every episode, just to be on the safe side, to keep it G-rated, it's always like, oh, hi, everybody! I'm so freaking happy to see you!
NFTs literally had... They were using so much, like, resources that many schools didn't have heat for the winter. Sesame Street shouldn't be, like, a part of that.
The way I see it, the only NFTs I care for are some nice
ones. Yay!
I'll tell you something right now, Mary. That is not going to make it into the final cut, but I appreciate it very much.
No, but it did make you smile.
Listen,
if this was Muppet Fans Talking, it would go in Muppets Fan Talking.
Yeah, because, I know. Yeah. I know.
And that's why we'll never have guest stars outside of the fandom.
This is why we'll never be on Tough Pigs. They won't allow us. We're too gay and vulgar for them.
I mean,
you've been in the pocket of the media elite, JD. And we're the people.
We're the people.
I have a question.
Yes.
Would it be allowed if she had said nice frickin' titties?
Yeah. Sure.
Oh,
it's
not.
It's going to get cut either way.
Okay. Well, friends, you've given us a lot to think about, but it's time for a commercial break. We'll be right back with more Muppet Talk right after this.
Hello, I'm Thomas.
Hello, I'm Ethan.
And we're Thomas and Ethan of Thomas and Ethan's Voices of British Persons. We're a couple of impressionists from England with one mission: providing great British voices. That's our business. If you need a voice that sounds like a British person, we can provide that voice. We can sound like lots of different British people. Don't believe us? Here's John Cleese. Hi, I'm John Cleese. They can sound like lots of different British people. Just kidding, that wasn't John Cleese, it was Ethan. Yes, it was, but don't take our word for it. Here's Elton John. Hi, I'm Elton John. That wasn't John Cleese, it was Ethan. Elton John is another one of the voices we like to do. He's pretty groovy. Is he groovy? Let's confirm that. He is Julie Andrews. Hi, I'm Julie Andrews. He's pretty groovy. Some of our other voices include Michael Caine. Hi, I'm Michael Caine. Sir Patrick Stewart. Hi, I'm Sir Patrick Stewart. The Rolling Stones. Hi, I'm the Rolling Stones. Greta Thunberg. Wait a minute, Ethan. Are you sure she's British? No, that's right. She's famously from Somalia. That's a little different. Yes, it is. Here's Edgar Wright. Hi, I'm Edgar Wright. That's a little different. Yes, it is. Here's the end of the commercial. Hi, I'm Ethan.
And I'm Thomas.
And we're Thomas and Ethan of Thomas and Ethan's Voices of British Persons. Visit our website at www.gov.uk. Hi, I'm Emma Watson. Now we're done with that bit now, Ethan. Oh.
And so, the new Tough Pig slogan is, you'll love this, live, laugh, love.
You're right, I
That's
do love
so
it.
That's so perfect.
Absolutely.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
Mr.
Squill. Yeah.
Mr. Squill, I have a question about these t-shirts.
Yes, yes.
Are they wearable?
No. That's the only downside, is that we haven't figured out how to make the shirts wearable yet. We figured out how to make the shirts watchable. You can watch them for hours if you want to.
Now, I know they're watchable, but are they washable?
Oh, that's a great question. No. No, you only get the one time.
I have a question for you.
Yes!
Are these shirts just JPEGs?
Well, no, that's a very good question. They're not just JPEGs. They might seem like they're just JPEGs, but they are not just JPEGs.
Are they GIFs?
No, they are not GIFs. Here's the thing about these
shirts. Are they videos?
No, they are not. Now, they are images. They are images. But these images, you know, they're these collectibles, you see.
Can you right-click them?
No, absolutely not. You have to pay $60.
Oh.
$60.
60.
That's right.
60? That's such a steal.
It is.
That's such a bargain.
It is. This is what we're saying. It's a bargain. You pay $60, and then you get an image file with a unique code. Now, it may look like there are 50 other of these collectible images that are exactly the same, but technically, the code is completely unique.
Now, will they all say live, laugh, love, or are some of us going to lose out on this amazing idea?
They all say live, laugh, love, and that's what makes them distinct Tough Pigs IP.
Now, I just got here.
Yes, hello, Maria. How are you?
Good. What the fuck's going on?
Mr. Swill here is telling us about the wonderful new Tough Pigs merch.
Yeah!
Oh.
Isn't it great? Isn't it great? Don't you want to buy it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Wonderful. I'm so glad. Well, here's the one problem. Right now, a certain someone's arm is extremely tired, hurting very much from doing this. So I'm going to have to say goodbye, but thank you very much for your time. Okay. Visit.
Hi, Mr. Squill. I can't wait to buy your extremely expensive images.
I can't wait for them to be wearable.
Well, hey, don't hold your breath. All right? Later, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Welcome back, friends. I'd like to circle back to Sesame Street for just one more thing, and that one more thing is Sprout's discussion question for us. Sprout, what have you got for us to discuss today?
So I thought it would be a fun little thinking experiment to question, what would Sesame Street be like today if HBO hadn't bought into the company? Outside of defunct, because we all know they sold out because they needed the money.
Yeah, I was literally about to say they went from so many episodes to like six a year. So I'm going to say defunct. If they didn't, I feel like less, like we wouldn't have Elmo's, I almost said Elmo's Late Late Show. Is that the name? I'm so tired.
Close enough.
I haven't slept.
Close enough. Who knows? Who cares?
I think it's the Not Too Late Show.
Yeah.
Yes. Not Too Late.
Not
Sorry.
Too Late Late Show.
I did not sleep last night. We wouldn't have that, I don't think. Truly.
Definitely.
No. We wouldn't have that, but I do think that Sesame Street might have been able to get some other streaming deals and maybe get some of their other stuff back up on streaming that HBO Max has just not been interested in making available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Disney would have bought Sesame Street. That is...
I hate to think that you're right.
I know it's the unpopular thought, but right now I'm kind of like, is it going to happen now that HBO Max is getting cold feet?
I don't know if it's going to happen now.
I'm just saying now that the HBO deal is kind of seeming like it's starting to fall through the cracks. I'm not shutting anything down is what I'm trying to say.
Well, how about we've already seen Apple TV's success with Fraggle Rock. What's to say they don't buy the rights to Sesame?
Well, I think that that's a very good thought. But at this point, I do wonder, are we past the point of someone else getting a streaming deal for Sesame Street and just going straight to Sesame Workshop is in crisis and someone has to buy Sesame Workshop itself or else it goes away? But maybe that, like, you've got a really good point that, like, if Apple TV Plus could get everybody under the same umbrella, but it might be Disney Plus that's more likely to be able to get everybody under the same roof.
And there's a hopeful part of me that I know this will never happen. That's like, oh, maybe the Henson Company can actually help, which I know is like not going to happen. It's a very messy divorce. Like, it's not.
I'm a child of divorce. I'm a Jim Henson fan.
Sometimes I you know, it's a daydream of like, oh, the good old days. But like, Henson Company was dead in the water too. So like, you know, companies are gonna company and companies die. Mm-hmm. And we're in this very weird limbo state where, because of public funding, Sesame has to turn to other options. And it is hard to think about it surviving. And that is genuinely making me gonna cry. And so I don't like to think about it.
If only Big Bird ran for president.
We needed that movie. If HBO didn't, you know, get the streaming rights and it, you know, it wasn't defunct, then Maybe there is an alternate universe where one of those like 5 second streaming apps, you know, the really funny ones. What's that one that everyone was shitting on? Mary, do you remember?
I'm trying to remember. Oh, Quibi.
Quibi. The Jeffrey Katzenberg joint.
Yeah. Maybe there is an alternate universe where Quibi somehow helped Sesame Street.
Only available on Quibi.
You know, speaking of random streaming services, the Jim Henson Company now has given random streaming, many of their projects homes on random streaming services.
Good for them.
Like, they've scattered things all over the dang place. So Peacock added Emma Daughter's Jug Band Christmas and The Christmas Toy to their service. The Christmas Toy is free. Emmett Otter requires a paid subscription. Also, but behind the paywall.
You can also watch Emmett Otter on Amazon Prime for free.
You can.
Well, free if you have Amazon Prime, which is a lot of money.
Heck yeah, baby.
Okay. Okay.
Barry's a capitalist.
I'm paying Jeff Bezos all my money so I can watch Lenny Bruce die.
Don't talk about it.
Okay. Okay. Here's the amazing thing about Peacock and the Jim Henson Company. Now, behind the Peacock paywall is Billy Bunny's Animal Songs, the 1993 Muppet sing-along VHS tape. Like, I never in a million years, would have thought the Henson Company would release this, which I've never seen in full. I've seen parts of it, and part of it was cut up and included into the Bein' Green sing-along tape that I had. Oh, there we go. Mary's pointing. That excites Mary.
My name is Maria.
Ah, Maria's pointing.
You're getting the two people with the same first three letters of their name mixed up.
I knew I was going to do it at some point. I don't think I've ever done it before, but I knew it was going to happen tonight. Stop making hand motions while you're holding your microphones.
You're stuck in the cube, JD.
I know, I'll never get out of the cube.
Never get out of the cube.
Okay, so Jim Henson's Turkey Hollow. Anyone remember Turkey Hollow?
God, no.
Me.
I did, me.
Jim Henson's Turkey Hollow I bring up because it will be coming to, it already is, apparently. I didn't notice it, but that's just me. It's already on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who cares, but weirdly, even though it was not made for Disney, it is on Disney Plus. Farscape has come to like YouTube, Tubi, Peacock, Pluto TV, Amazon, Roku Channel, Plex, and Shout Factory TV. While we're on the topic of the Jim Henson Company, I want to shout out the Jim Henson Company's big win at the Oscars for Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. It was nice to see Lisa Henson up on that stage.
She looked wonderful.
She did.
Also, I just want to shout out my friend Oliver, who worked on it. He technically also won an Oscar.
Congratulations, Oliver!
Right. Yeah.
So cool.
People might know him as Cranbercher online.
I think this is a really cool moment for the Jim Henson Company, which usually the Jim Henson Company has a lot of wins on television. They get a lot of Emmys pretty easily. But in terms of recognition for their films, I mean, so much of their recent movies have been, you know, there was the Happy Time Murders a few years ago. They did the, what was that? The Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible,
No Good, Very Bad Day.
Oh, they did that movie?
Yeah.
I didn't know they did that movie. Wow.
Let's see, this is 2014. I think
they were producers on that one.
Yeah, it's a Disney movie, but yeah, for whatever reason, the Jim Henson Company was also a production company on it, and Lisa Henson was the producer. So this was like the tail end of Disney making that kind of movie. That's sort of like just a real live action family comedy. It feels like it's the last time when Disney was a normal movie studio that wasn't entirely built around just cranking out new installments of their franchises.
Yeah, then just a franchise.
Yeah. Like this is the last time when you might see Disney do something like take a spec script. Not that this was necessarily that. It was still based on IP. The running time for this feature film is 81 minutes, which is
a short. That sounds wonderful.
It sounds wonderful now because we're so used to children's movies being a full 2 hours.
You do not know who I would kill for another 81-minute movie.
And I feel very much the same
way. You kill me.
And me.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think I do know who.
I do know who you'd kill.
All I was trying to say there is I think it's very, very nice that maybe the Jim Henson Company is starting to have a little bit of a comeback. But keep in mind, stop making faces and middle fingers while I'm trying to talk. I can't think. Yeah, I brought this upon myself, but nevertheless.
That's what we deal with.
What was I saying? What in the world was I saying? Their next, the Jim Henson Company's next movie is coming to MGM Plus, a streaming service that sounds made up as a joke.
I think MGM Plus is kind of like a like an add-on to Amazon Prime, where it's like, okay, kind of like your BritBox or my personal favorite, Acorn TV.
Sure. So maybe this will be the next Oscar winner for the Jim Henson Company, but I don't think so. I'm just glad that Pinocchio worked out for them. I haven't seen that film.
It's a wonderful film. It's good. It's absolutely wonderful.
Okay.
It's absolutely heartbreaking and beautiful. And if you haven't seen it, I think you should see it.
I have a question.
Yes.
Mm. Do we think Five Nights at Freddy's could be an Oscar winner?
Hey.
There's no reason right now to say it couldn't be.
Yeah.
Say, Maria, what discussion question have you brought for us tonight?
My discussion question. The Muppets have had many different public perceptions over time. And where do you think it's headed in the near future and how it correlates to what we see now? Because, you know, depending on who you ask, the Muppets are either seen as like kids or family friendly or adults, or they're too nice or they're too edgy. Where do you think that perception is right now? And where do you think it is going in the near future?
Right. Right now, I think the Muppets are mainly seen as memes, where it's Kermit drinking the tea. Or it's Miss Piggy is a glorious icon, which she is in her own right. Or that Kermit's down bad. Or
see, I would argue that was more of Steve Whitmire in the era of when he did that TED Talk.
I think it still is carrying over into the public perception now. I think that's kind of a hard thing to shake.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think that it's they're kind of gonna be forever a little bit stuck in that meme mode, because memes like that, like the Kermit T one that like had all this like bootleg merchandise spawned that you can literally find anywhere.
Yeah,
is never going to die because people are getting it for profit, and that's what they're really using it for now. But I think it's a mix of meme in a way of like, I feel like it was bigger in the early 2010s of that meme era of the Muppets, but I feel like they're trying to steer away, at least Disney's trying to steer away a bit from that and trying to get them more family friendly, more based than anything.
I do think the direction they're going to be going into in the near future is that all of the Muppets are going to become K-pop stans, and I will not elaborate.
Okay, good.
Well, we do have Muppet Mayhem coming out, and maybe that takes more of an adult turn.
Right.
Please.
I have this one fear with Muppet Mayhem. And maybe this is just the people I follow on Twitter, that there is going to be like this huge group of people who do not give a shit about the puppets, but they are just going to be there for the human romance. And I'm not kidding. I think
who are you following?
I can see it.
The weirdest people.
Yeah. I mean, you follow all of us.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I don't understand how this is possible at all. Will
is a fear.
Will enough people know about the human cast of the show? Like, has anyone ever watched a Muppet show before without any interest at all in the Muppets themselves?
You do not know the people I follow on Twitter. They were watching
And I'm glad.
They were watching a Mighty Duck show and they found a ship out of it. And they started watching it because of edits of that of those ships.
That was me starting discussion not... because of Greg and Tom edits.
Yeah, edits, really shipping edits, not even just shipping edits, just like thirst trap edits really drive a fan base to watch stuff.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're completely baffled.
Why should I know better than anyone?
You went and found archival fan mail just for Maria of Sesame Street.
That's true.
They only watched it for her.
That is
imagine if there was the ability to make and share Maria fan cams in the 70s, what would have happened?
Yes. I fear we will be getting Lily Singh in Muppet Mayhem fan cams, and I don't want them.
I think we do need like fan cams, not of Lily Singh. No offense to Lily Singh. We do need fan cams, especially like in the TikTok era. Ugh. We do need like Floyd and Janice edits and you know, like, yeah. Oh, Zoot edits and Dr. Teeth sexy man edits. We need those things to drive engagement.
That's yes. true. That would be
I fully easy. Agree.
Because
I fully agree.
Like, okay, the Stanley Parable is one of my favorite video games, and it had a really big boom for like a month, and then it went down. It's having a resurgence right now because some people found narrator lines talking about Stanley, and they've been making ship edits, and it has a big resurgence, and the guy who made it is talking about like how much like sales have gone up in the last couple months because of those fan edits. So we do need those.
Now, speaking of fan edits, it makes me think of like, because I do follow some people on TikTok who do make like Muppet edits.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest, one of the best ones I've seen was the one that was Taylor Swift, Would Have, Could Have, Should Have, with Muppet Christmas Carol Scrooge.
That is such a good
edit.
That
was a really good one.
That really, is such a good one.
It's things like that that I'm like, if we had these for like Muppets Mayhem, it would blow up because people love Taylor Swift lyrics and people love whatever, like applying them to certain situations.
This doesn't have to do with the Muppets. Can we talk about the Taylor Swift edit to that one Jesus movie from Latin America?
What?
Oh, no.
No, we don't have time. We don't have room.
It's 10 o'clock. No.
Where I am, it's 11 o'clock.
Yeah. So public perception changes and I just want to know, like, I know the fandom perception. I want to know the public perception of the people that aren't mega fans like us, or even just casual fans. I want the people that are like, have no clue that Kermit and Piggy broke up. Those type of people, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that they still think of the Muppets as sort of a family brand for kids, but will probably only be interested in the Muppets again if the stuff that the Muppets are doing has that chaotic, like a really big, loud, fast energy again that is... Yeah.
We need more explosions.
Smart. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we'll see. And I do actually want to hear Mary's discussion question, because I didn't know where to put it in the plan for this episode, because I have no idea what it is.
All right. If you were to select any Muppet or Jim Henson character and put them in a bong and smoke them, which one would it be?
Boober Fraggle.
Janice.
I was going to say New Zealand.
Fishy.
Floyd is like my one and only. I feel like I would just be having the time of my life.
Fist bump.
What about you, JD?
I'm struggling to wrap my little brain around what this question means.
This is why I asked if this was a family-friendly podcast.
Yeah, well, we're well past that now. I guess Big Bird. Oh. I'll go with Big Bird.
So that's your Muppet gateway drug of choice.
Well, Big Bird. I like the mellow energy. I've always thought that Big Bird and bongs just go together. It just makes sense.
Big bong.
Who's like your friend who likes to play? Big bong.
Big bong. I feel like mine needs a little explanation because people associate Boober with paranoia. But yeah, you know how some
trip do you want to have?
Well, like, I assumed it was Piggy with moth color.
There are some strains that make you like instantly go into cleaning mode and like you need to do everything all at once. And my thought is going towards that with Boober and just getting chores done.
I see. You get all your laundry done. So, finally moving to Disney's Muppet Studio news. Kermit and Fozzie appeared on Disney's Schoolhouse Rock 50th Anniversary Sing-Along. This was for, what, Hulu? Or at least it's on Hulu now. I think it was for TV.
It's on Disney Plus now.
It's on Disney Plus?
It is on Disney Plus. Yes.
Why does toughpigs.com say, why did Johanna say Hulu? Maybe it's on Hulu and Disney Plus at the same time. Anyway, what did we think of Kermit and Fozzie on Schoolhouse Rock? Because I got to tell you, I tried to watch it and I just kind of nodded off.
I haven't watched it because everyone who watched it went, it's okay. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Nothing's really compelling.
I was like, that's the general consensus. So I was like, it happened.
I'd rather spend my Muppet energy watching things that are bad or really, really good.
I watched it because I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of Schoolhouse Rock and, of course, the Muppets. Why wouldn't I be here? Disney keeps producing these type of specials that's just like sing-alongs that they've been producing since 2020 for obvious reasons. It gives me big Imagine video on Twitter energy that I hate.
No!
It does. And we don't need these type of specials anymore. Yeah. I'd rather celebrate Schoolhouse Rock or whatever the special is about. But instead, we're just getting all these random ass celebrities they keep throwing at us to like sing and dance to these songs. And though I did really like love Kermit's performance, great, great singer. It's like, why are you here? Why is Fozzie here? You're not talking or doing anything really. You're doing kind of sight gag stuff. It's mediocre at best. It's fine. If I'm doing like an A to F, it'd be a C.
Speaking of why is Fozzie here, I want to know why Fozzie is now in Disney Parks hotel rooms.
Well, there's a very bad answer I could give you.
He's a comedian. That's what they do.
Good. So I should explain what I was referencing here. I'm just going to read a bit of the Tough Pigs article breaking this story, which was written by Joe Hennis, the executive producer of this podcast that you're hearing right now, whether he likes it or not.
Hi, Joe. I just think you're super, super cool and great. And that everything I say on here is so super cool and great. And I know since you're super cool and great, you will not want to cut any of it.
Yep, that'll work. That'll definitely work. Okay. This article is titled, Move Over, Alexa. Fozzie Bear is your new digital assistant. Wouldn't it be great if you could ask your Alexa or Google or toaster oven to tell you a joke, and then out pops the voice of Fozzie Bear with a classic groaner? Apparently, the folks at Disney had the same query, because that's pretty much what's happening. The Disney Magical Companion is a new and or upcoming service on the Amazon Echo in which you'll be able to say, hey, Disney, and then ask it to set a timer, ask about the weather, or ask for a recipe for Dragonfly Ripple ice cream. You know, just like all those other digital assistants. The catch is that Hey Disney will conjure up a random Disney character to help you with your troubles. Characters like Dory from Finding Nemo, Olaf from Frozen, Mater from Cars, as well as Mickey, Minnie, and Groot have all been confirmed. Fozzie Bear and Animal from The Muppets will also have their voices captured and stuffed into the device. That's how machines work, right? According to The Verge, the device was on display at the CES Expo, which may mean it's likely still in development, but close for wide release. But also, according to the Disney Parks website, the Disney Magical Companion is already in use at their resorts. So whether you hope to get a wake-up call from Animal or to get directions to your closest honey dispensary from Fozzie, this could be coming to your home very soon. Thanks to Danny Horn for the info. And then, of course, it says click here to get yelled at through a tiny speaker on the Tough Pigs forum.
I'm sorry.
I feel like go ahead.
I hate to bring this up because it's not Muppety, but how is Groot going to be helpful in a recipe?
Like, how is Groot going to be helpful in any situation?
I am Groot. How is that helpful?
You forgot we are Groot.
1/4 cup of Groot. No!
I do want to say, the next time Sprout and I are at a Disney park, we are going to try to use this specifically to get Mater.
Dadgum.
Muppets Mayhem, set to premiere in early May. Any thoughts? Any feelings? What are we excited for?
I really hope My Chemical Romance is there.
I'm excited for the record.
Can we talk about real quick the Paul McCartney rumor?
Yeah, what do we make of that?
I'm intrigued as a deep lover of whatever that old man does.
It's called Music Bee.
I think that's intriguing that it wasn't leaked earlier than that, actually.
It's because everybody except Beverly Goldberg had an NDA.
You know what? That's fair.
I'm always in this weird limbo state right before we get... Well, even just whenever Muppet stuff is announced, I'm like, either it's going to be great and I'm going to like it, or it's going to be terrible and I'm going to hate it.
Yeah.
There's not usually a happy medium. Sometimes we do get a medium and it's like, okay, that was fine. But sometimes I'm like, yes, I'm very excited for Muppet Mayhem. I love the Electric Mayhem. They're some of my favorite parts of the original Muppet Show. I love those characters to death. Zoot, my beloved. And other times I'm like, how are they going to carry a show?
With dreams and hopes and rainbow connections.
Rainbow connections. Yeah. We're going to hear that song. I bet you. Even if Kermit doesn't sing it, I feel like maybe the Electric Mayhem would cover it.
It's going to be like a background instrumental on like a dramatic moment.
Yeah.
Life hasn't been the same since our manager Jim died. Rainbow Connection starts playing.
No!
And then, like, you hear the banjo come in, and then you zoom in on the log in the middle of the swamp, and it's just Animal on the banjo.
Why are there so many?
I can see them from that.
Oh my god. I want it to be really good. And other times I get worried about like characters, because we do have these characters that have had set like personalities and character traits for a while. And I'm worried they're going to do a 2015 where they're going to just rip them to shreds and make new characters.
Oh, where they made like Floyd a conspiracy theorist for no reason.
Floyd was a conspiracy theorist for no damn reason. Zoot, I can get with, because like he was already really sleepy and zoned out all the time. Sleepy. In quotations, you know what I mean. They made Janice the village bicycle, and it upsets me to this day. And I don't want that to happen here. I would, as a Floyd and Janice shipper, I would like them to still be together. Please, thank you.
I just hope that it's not too focused on like the humans. Like I know that is a draw in. I know that they did that with Muppets Haunted Mansion, like they made it a big part of the promo, but like, and it ended up being more of a part of that than you thought it was. But I really hope that like they're kind of like a sprinkle in of like having humans and the Muppets, and I really hope it's more Muppets themed, like more Muppet focused than anything of like the side characters have their B plots, but they're not big enough B plots to where you think it's an A plot.
I have a bad feeling.
I also think if they do a human B plot, I'm going to be tuning out because I don't care about the humans. I've never cared about the humans.
So from everything that we've heard about this show so far from the people involved, it seems like the Muppet studio actually has a lot of control over this in a way that they didn't over the ABC show.
Yes.
So I expect that if they are doing anything like the 2015 show in terms of how they handle the characters, it will be very much, much more in conversation with the performers, much more driven by the performers.
I hope so. Absolutely.
I really think so. I mean, it seems like everybody who's worked on the show, from what little I have heard through the grapevine, is pleased that this show is some... Maybe return to form for the Muppets, perhaps, but we don't know.
I hope so.
Might I bring up, though, they were saying the same things when Muppet Haunted Mansion was coming out.
Well, but then everybody really liked Muppets Haunted Mansion. That was hugely popular among casual fans, I think.
Yeah, you can tell the love and intent of when people do Muppets projects, when you can tell that they've that it's been an impact in their life, and so they want to continue what they know and they love, which tends to be very close, or trying to at least emulate what Jim did originally with the Muppets, because that's what they've all seen. Mm-hmm. So I think definitely that gives me a good bit of like hope of like, okay, it's not coming at this as a corporate angle of let's get this show, let's do this, let's push this. It's more of a, this is a labor of love and in continuing what you've seen your whole life and doing it good and justice. So I have good hope about that.
I have good faith in this, and I am looking forward to Muppets Pride and Prejudice with Brett Goldstein.
It gives me the same energy of the DuckTales reboot. Like, the people behind that were really, like, huge DuckTales fans. Huge, like, you know, Disney Saturday morning fans. So I hope that this is the same thing of, like, actually wanting to make a Muppet thing and loving it.
Yeah.
Friends, this has been something. And you've given us a lot to think about.
That it has.
But I'm afraid our time is coming to an end. Mary, where can people find you on the internet?
People can find all of us at Muppets_talking on Twitter. And they can find me at Muppet Mulaney on Twitter.
Sprout, where at this point, you're not on Twitter much. So
no, but my account's still open. I may go back eventually. So you could possibly find me at Palpoo Sprout on Twitter.
But otherwise, it would be at, is it Muppets_talking?
It is.
Where can we find you, Maria?
In your dreams and your nightmares. No, I am at Nerdy Maria Mania on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram. You can also find me with a musical without a cool acronym on YouTube. We're in our final year. We're going out with something. What? I don't know what, but we're doing it. Goodbye forever. You can find me on AO3 if you want to read fan fiction. Goodbye.
B, what Twitter account do you have that's still alive?
You can find me on Twitter at McCartney Muppet. That's the new one.
To live and let die.
And now, a moment of spontaneous applause for our panel of Muppet experts. Thank you. If you enjoyed this program, we hope you'll consider supporting us on Patreon. Thank you to those of you who do so already. This Tough Pigs Muppet Fan Podcast was executive produced by the Tough Pigs Muppet Fan Podcast executive producer, Joe Hennis. Thanks to Kenny Durkin for our artwork, and thanks to Frank Haas, because it's always a good time to thank a Frank. For ToughPigs.com, this is J.D. Hansel reminding you of Jim Henson's motto, "You'll never get out of the cube." Goodbye. Okay, so Maria, since you've got one prepared, why don't you start?
Okay. The convenience store clerk yesterday saw my Kermit shirt, and then he started mansplaining to me about how George Carlin hosted Sesame Street for 5 seasons, and he wouldn't shut the fuck up. And I'm so tired, and he looked at me like I was crazy, and it's not like that he was crazy or anything, he just had so much entitlement, and I cannot believe him that he would say such a thing to me. And also, he was like, oh, the Muppets were so edgy, it's like, you don't understand the Muppets. I don't know why you're talking to me. I write for Tough Pigs. I host a Muppet podcast. Stop talking to me. Stop looking at me. I just want my Kit Kat and a water bottle. I don't want to be here.
I think Matt Vogel isn't a really good Elmo. He sounds nothing like Peter Linz or Frank Oz. They could have found anyone to voice act him better. Even I could do it. See, let me do it. I could be a great voice actor. Come on.
Can I do a really heavy Northern Wisconsin accent for mine?
Please. Yes, please.
Okay. Okay, so I'm a little peeved off right now because I've been going to one Walmart every other day for the past 2 weeks trying to find the Wet n' Wild Sesame Street collection. I can't find it anywhere. And I've been going every other day for the past 2 weeks. So I decided since I'm so I went out of town this past weekend to go see some friends, like, you know, someone does. And then I decided I'm going to go to the Walmart there. First thing I see when I enter the Walmart, so I'm throwing stuff in my bag left and right. I got almost everything there, spent over $200. And I'm like, damn, this is why I shouldn't have a paycheck. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I wish that were me.
Excellent.
He's going to have a great time editing. I already know.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, when he said, do you guys want to do a podcast? I'm like, you know what you're getting yourself into.
We haven't worked together in a year, and it's made us all feral.
That's true.
JD has been in hell this whole time.
You can never escape the cube.
It's true. I'll never get out of the cube, and this is my cube now.